Luke chapter 10. Read you this real quick first. A fellow sent me this. He says, my dog sleeps about 20 hours a day. He has his food prepared for him. He can eat whenever he wants. His meals are provided at no cost to him. He visits the doctor once a year for his checkup, and again during the year if any medical needs arise. For this he pays nothing, and nothing is required of him. He lives in a nice neighborhood in a house that is much larger than he needs, but he is not required to do any upkeep. He makes no contribution to the running or maintenance of the house. If he makes a mess, someone else cleans it up. He has his choice of luxurious places to sleep. He receives the accommodations absolutely free. He's living like a king and has absolutely no expenses whatsoever. All of his costs are picked up by others who go out, work hard, and earn a living every day. I was just thinking about all this, and suddenly it hit me like a brick in the head. My dog is an Obama supporter. Luke chapter 10. Come on now, if you can't take a joke, come on. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. We saw here in Luke chapter 10, as the Lord sends these 70 out, we get a lesson from the Lord on joy. And as Christians, we have to have that joy. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is your strength. And so we have to have that fellowship, that presence with the Lord, have joy. Isn't God mean? He wants us to have joy. And then next we saw here, beginning in verse 25, a great lesson on love. The idea is for us as Christians, only Christians can truly love, because until you're saved, you've never really known love. But when we know love, we then can keep his commandments, and his commandments aren't grievous. It's not grievous for us to not steal or not kill or not commit adultery. That doesn't grieve us. It's good as Christians, we can actually desire purity, holiness, cleanliness, actually desire it. You may have done some of those things as a lost person, but you never desired it, you never longed for it. As a Christian, you can. And that's a result of love. And so we've learned in this chapter about love. We've learned about joy. And if we're understanding at all about the fruits of the Holy Spirit, we know that next in line after love and joy is peace. And so I'd like to preach this morning on how to have the peace of God. Mary knew Jesus. Martha knew Jesus. Martha served Jesus. Mary served Jesus. Martha heard Jesus' word. Mary heard Jesus' word. What was the difference? Listen, they both, I believe, had peace with God. But only Mary had the peace of God. Do you understand the difference between the two? If you hold your place here real quick, look with me in Romans in chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 talks about us as Christians having peace with God. And it's only through the blood of the cross, only through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, that we can have peace with God. And he says in Romans 5 and verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, from that day forward, you have peace with God. Before you were saved, the Bible says you were at enmity with God. You were God's enemy. You were in trouble with God because God saw you as a sinner. God saw you as someone that was out against Him. And but when you came and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, He's slain the enmity thereby. He's covered it all in His precious blood. He's made you a new creature in Christ. He's adopted you into His family. You're now His child. He now has His love set upon you. You now have for the rest of your life and for all of eternity peace with God. Thank God. Thank God. If you're not here today, listen, if you're here today and you do not have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you do not have peace with God. Now, we love you, and I'm here to warn you that what you need is to have peace with God. Before you leave this world, and none of us knows when that's going to be, before you leave this world, you best make sure you have peace with God by faith in the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But here this morning now, we're looking at this idea of, here's two ladies, I believe they both know the Lord. They're both trying to serve the Lord. They both want to do something for the Lord. They're both desiring to please the Lord. But Mary had the peace of God. Martha didn't. What did Jesus say about Martha? Martha, Martha, verse 41, thou art careful and troubled about many things. I don't know who's here this morning. I don't know what's going on in your life. But some of you this morning, you may have came in here this morning. Careful. Full of care. Worry. Anxiety. Stressed out. Troubled. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. He only said that about one of them, Martha. Martha, do you have the peace of God? And so simply this morning, how to have the peace of God, that's what we find in this passage. And the first thing we need to learn to do is to avoid worldly worries, worldly cares. Look there in verse 40, but Martha was cumbered about much serving. Came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Hey, if Martha was alive today, she wouldn't have to go to Jesus about her concerns. She could have just gone to the medicine cabinet. Because she could just go to any doctor today and get her whatever. I don't even know the name of half the stuff that's out here. I'm sure some of these other guys in RU, they could give you the names of some of this stuff. There's all kinds of stuff out there today. I know you got Valium. They got, what is it, Ambien. They got all this stuff for depression and anxiety because America is a bunch of pill addicts. Say why? Because they're full of care. They're full of trouble. But they don't bring it to Jesus. They just walk around with it. They're just carrying it around all the time. I don't know who came in here today full of care. I don't know who's come in here this morning with troubles. Imagine it's more than two or three. But the Bible tells us what we can do about that. Hold your place here in Luke and look with me in Philippians. In Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. You know what I've seen put more pastors out of the pastorate than anything else? Worry, care, amen. Put them in an early grave, get them to the point where they're just so stressed that they can't take it anymore and they just got to quit. You know what I believe has put a lot of Christians out of the race? Just that, just worry, just trouble. Philippians chapter 4, look with me in verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Now, what did God say to do? What did he say to do? Quit worrying about it. Quit thinking about it. About what? Anything that's got you stressed out. Anything that's got you troubled. Anything that's weighing you down. Stop thinking about it. Stop your worry. Amen. John Wesley said, I'd rather get drunk than is to worry. Not that he ever got drunk. But he said, you know what he's saying as far as he was concerned? You know what a worse sin would be? Worry. Listen, we're living in an age like no other, brethren. And if there's one thing you know in this age that is unlike any other, all you got to do is look at the pharmaceutical industry. And you see what's going on here in America and around this world. People are just so stressed out. We've got the tyranny of government. We've got the problems all around us and finances and politics and all the garbage of this life. I'm glad you have things. Praise God. Thank God for anything he gives you. But do you possess your possessions? Or do your possessions possess you? You know, it makes all the difference in the world. I've seen people so stressed out over stuff. Are you a Christian? Are you going to live for eternity in a gold mansion? Then don't worry so much about the stuff down here. Amen? The Bible says to be content with such things as you have. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Remember that story about the man building the bigger barns? Remember what he said? He spent his whole life working and serving and doing everything he could for stuff. You know what he says near the end of his life? You know what he said to himself? He said, soul, take thine ease. You know why he had to say that? Because he never had. And right before the Lord's ready to take him home, he says, I think I'll start relaxing now. What a way to live your life.
Amen.
That's sad. Well, Brother Ray, I'm just trying to get to the place financially where I don't have to worry. Wait a minute, let me read that verse again. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. What do you mean you're trying to get to the place? If you're saved, you're already at that place. You don't have to worry anymore about that stuff. God's promised to take care of your needs. Now, he did say if a man doesn't work, neither should he eat. You don't get to sit back and be a welfare guy for God. It don't work that way. But if you're doing your part, amen, God will do his. You don't have to worry. The Lord promised to take care of you. And so many Christians, they just have this idea that there's some kind of secret, successful thing out there that they can work hard enough to obtain that's going to give them that peace. And then when I have that, then I can take mine ease. Hey, take your ease right now. And keep it. And be content with such things as you have. For God has said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Hey, you got the Lord, don't you? He's not enough. He's not enough to satisfy. But, Brother Ray, you don't understand Obama and the government and $16 trillion in debt and the sodomites are taking over. Yeah. Okay. It's like I saw a guy, he had an ad for a dog. He's trying to sell this dog. He said it's a Chihuahua, world champion Chihuahua. Understands everything going on with the world economy and politics. Know this to be the case because he shakes a lot. Amen. You ever seen one of those things? I think that's some of God's people. I was listening to Rush Limbaugh again, and I think that we're going to... Listen, get with Mick, take a pill, forget about all that. Amen. All right, look back with that. Now hold your place there in Philippians. Look back with me in Luke. Listen, if you're going to have the peace of God, you've got to learn to just junk all that stuff. Get rid of all of it. The Bible says the cares of this life, the lust of other things entering, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. It's not going to help you. It's not going to help you. Look back there in Luke chapter 10, and notice, if you would, in verse 42, but one thing is needful. You see that? But one thing is needful. Look, verse 41 again. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful. There is something you should be careful about. There is something that you should be concerned and worry about. Only one thing. And Mary chose that one thing to be concerned with, to be troubled with, to be careful about. And that was simply pleasing Jesus Christ. What if the only thing we ever worried about was putting a smile on God's face every day of our lives? Wouldn't that be nice if that's all we ever had to be concerned with, to be careful of? Now that's what the Bible says we as Christians, the only thing we should be careful of. Look back there in Philippians, notice, you know, I've heard Christians say it, well, we should be careful for nothing. The Bible says, look back there again, verse 6, Philippians 4 and verse 6, be careful for nothing. It says that, doesn't it? But listen, you got to go by the context. Look down in verse 10. How about this? Look at verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Here, Paul is commending them for being careful when he had just said in verse 6 to not be careful. What's the difference? In verse 6, about the worldly cares, the selfish cares, all the things of this life that burden us down. In verse 10, he's talking about Christians that are concerned about being able to help out the preacher, about the work of God going on, about missionaries being sent out.
Yes. Amen.
Hey, it's okay to be concerned with that. We ought to be. Look over there in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah 48 verse 22 and also in Isaiah 57 verse 21 that there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Could it be the reason that you're not having peace in your life right now is simply because of sin? Simply because there's something between you and the Lord that needs to be dealt with, that needs to be taken care of, and hasn't been taken care of yet. And you keep trying. You're like Martha. You keep serving. But come on now. The Lord's been talking to you about it, and you know it. And maybe today's the day. Maybe it's about time. Once you get down here and get rid of it and dump it, aren't you tired of it yet? It's been robbing you of that peace. Amen? And God doesn't want you going through your life like that. Don't you want that peace back? Look what he says in Titus chapter 3 and verse 8. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. Hey, what should we as God's people be careful, full of care about? What should we be concerned about? What should be taking up all of our thoughts and activities and things in our life? It should be serving God. Look with me in Psalm 37. But see, preacher, that was Martha's trouble. All she was doing was serving the Lord, but she wasn't spending time. Now, hold on. I can't allow private interpretation to go on in the Scripture. I just can't allow that as a preacher. Show me in there where it said Martha was serving the Lord. See, you've taken that and said, well, it's wrong to serve the Lord. That ain't what that's talking about. Martha was cumbered about much serving. I don't think she was serving the Lord. Because if you're serving the Lord, my Bible tells me, if you're truly serving the Lord in fellowship with Him, He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, if you're serving the Lord, if you're in fellowship, you can serve God, you'll have the strength, you'll have the power. It shouldn't be a burden to you. That shouldn't be something that weighs you down if you have peace with God. The problem may just be sin. Look in Psalm 37, verse 37. One verse, verse 37 of Psalm 37. Mark the perfect man and behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. You know why you got Christians out there running around having the pop pills and do everything else? Can't get to sleep at night. You know what's going on? Let's face it. It's real simple, isn't it? Sin. That's a problem. The Lord's been dealing with you about it, dealing with you about it, and dealing with you about it. Well, you know, we all, come on. Any time? Aren't you through with it yet? What's it been doing for you? I know what it's been doing to you. Why don't you just come on down and dump the thing and just get right? I guarantee you'll get up off of here, light on your feet, peace with God, peace with God. You can have it. You can have it if we confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's the cares of this life. It's the lust of other things entering in that choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Say, what do we need to do, preacher? I'll tell you what, listen, you want the peace of God? Look with me, please, in 1 Peter chapter 5. See, Mary had something figured out, I believe Martha didn't. Say, what's Mary doing there at Jesus' feet? I'm pretty sure I know what she's doing. She's doing what the Bible said to do. It amazes me how many Christians, it just seems like they have to have worry. If they're not worried about something, they feel like something's wrong. If they're just not weighed down with problems, they feel like something must be going on. What's happening? Hey, it's supposed to be that way. It's okay. Drama queens, that's what I call them. Amen. Got to make a big production out of everything. And, oh, what are we going to do here? Just chill out. 1 Peter chapter 5, look with me please, verse 6. Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him. For He careth for you. What did Martha say? Lord, if you care. What do you mean if? Lord, carest thou not? Why would you say that? That's what some Christians think. Well, the Lord don't really care. He does. That's a lie out of the pit of hell. He told you he cares. And he told you what to do with yours. You come in here full of care, stressed out, worried, troubled. And what did the Lord tell you you were supposed to do with all of that? Cast all your care. Oh, I just wish the Lord would take these troubles from you. He's not going to. He already told you what to do with them. Are you going to obey him or not? What are you supposed to do with him? Cast him. I picture up there in heaven when we'll be around the throne casting our crowns before his feet. Right now, we're not there yet. Right now, we're at that place where we still have to cast our cares before his feet. Literally, cast them. Have you ever done that? I mean, just get down and take them. This thing right here has been bothering me. Lord, it's yours. Lord, I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. Lord, I'm doing what I can. It's yours. Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get that thing fixed with that brother or sister, but Lord, it's yours. All your... Did you come in here with any care? You don't have to. We don't have to. We don't have to come in here with anything. And all that stuff is chains, balls and chains and handcuffs, and we just kind of walk around like, well, I don't know why the Christian life seems so hard. Well, good night, man. Come on. All that stuff, why do you want to carry that around when the Lord already told you you were supposed to cast it to him? Casting all your care upon him. That's what it says. All your care upon him. If you do that, what would you ever have to be careful about other than just serving the Lord? Think about it. Wouldn't you like to be at that place in your life where, man, the only thing I have to worry about is making sure God's happy? Has the Lord asked too much from us? Wouldn't you rather just worry about that one thing instead of having to worry about all this other stuff? Just say, Lord, you take care of all that other stuff so I can just concentrate on just making you happy. Now look back there with me, please, in Luke. We just need to just dump all the worldly worries and just start worrying about pleasing God. Learn to cast all our care upon him. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Look back with me here in Luke chapter 10 and verse 40. But Martha was cumbered. About much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, running to and fro, running here and there. When did the Lord call her? Martha just seems to always be getting ahead of the Lord. You notice that? Look over in John. We see this thing again over here in John. John chapter 11. And show you the difference between Martha and Mary here. John chapter 11. Verse 20. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still. In the house. Martha couldn't sit still. She's always, here I gotta go, I'm gonna go, here's Jesus, I'm going. Boom. Now look with me in verse 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, as soon as she heard what? His calling. She arose quickly and came unto him. Hey, is Mary serving Jesus? Sure. Is Martha serving Jesus? Sure. But see, Mary has learned to wait on the Lord, to wait on His timing, to wait on His calling. And when you do that, listen, there's never a rush. It's never stressful. It's never, I got to make sure this happens and I got... No. Peace, be still. Well, I think God's in it, preacher, and I think we got it. Oh, okay, all right, all right. Did you hear Him call? Everything's good? If He is, you don't have to be in a hurry. Relax. Get ahead of Him. And when you get to the end of this thing, Martha is no further along than Mary. Even though she started sooner. Strange thing, isn't it? Look in Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah 40. You see, waiting upon the Lord is there's two aspects of that. You understand that. There's waiting in the sense of waiting, but also waiting in the sense of tending. You ever had a waiter or a waitress help you out at the restaurant? Now, I know some of you, your idea of a high-class restaurant is McDonald's. I understand I'm not, you know, financial. Hey, that's what we can do. Amen. But if you ever have been or maybe get a chance sometime to go to a restaurant where there's actually a waiter or waitress that comes to your table, right? And they're supposed to what? Wait on you. Right? Amen? And they wait. How would you like a waiter or a waitress to come to you and say, okay, could you make it real quick? I got another table to get to. No. Listen, when you have, they may have other things to do. Right? But when it comes to them and you, their job for you is to make you feel like you're it. You are the most important thing in their life at that time. And whatever they can do to make you happy during your stay, they're going to do it. And it doesn't matter if you have to change your ideas three times and the kid can't figure out, they'll just stay there and listen and talk with you and take the order, and after everything's good, they'll go and get what you've required. And yet still be able to wait the other tables. If they're doing a good job. If they're doing what's required of them. Look with me there in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. You see, it's simply just putting the Lord first. Waiting on Him. Look there in Psalm 27. You know what He told Martha? He said, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And I might have, could have titled the message that. Because either way you go, the idea is there's one thing that's really only important in this life. Everything else, man, nothing to it. Whatever. Take it as it comes. The only thing important is God and pleasing Him. That's all we need to be consumed with. That's all we need to ever be concerned with. Psalm 27 in verse 4, one thing is needful. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble, He shall hide me in His pavilion. Don't look like there's any worry there. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Look over there in verse 11. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are arisen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. What do you need to do? Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Well, Brother Ray, I believe God's got something in my life, and I'm good, good. Praise God. Let him do it. I know you want him to go faster. But you can't make him go faster. I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. I've wished for 25 years that would work. That don't work. Sometimes he's just not in a real hurry. I don't know why. Maybe he's got other tables to wait to. But maybe we should just be more concentrated on waiting on him instead of him waiting on us. Listen, if we'll do that, there's no stress, there's no worry. Amen. It won't be strenuous. There'll be peace. Peace. The peace of God. Look back with me there, please, in Luke. One more point, we'll be through. Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Martha sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Said also. See? They both did that. They both spent time in prayer. They both sat at his feet and heard his word. The difference was Mary actually believed it and trusted it. But what if, and Lord, if you cared, and you know what Martha's problem is? She's heard his word. She just doesn't really believe it. Come on. If you're going to have peace, the peace of God, you're just going to have to believe what he said. You're just going to have to trust him. And the trials of our faith sometimes, see, that's not easy. But man, that's what it's all about. Hear and believe his word. You'll have peace. You'll have peace. Look with me in the Psalms. Psalm 1. May be familiar with this, some of you. Psalm 1. Psalm 1 in Jeremiah 17. Psalm 1 in Jeremiah 17. Psalm 1, look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Who's he listening to? What's he heeding? He's heeding the Word of God. He's not worried about what Dr. Phil has to say. He's worried about what God has to say. He's not worried about what Good Housekeeping and Vogue have to say. And Reader's Digest, he's worried about what God has to say. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now look at there in Jeremiah 17. That's the promise. How much does a tree have to stress over bearing fruit? How much careful does it have to be? You know all that tree has to worry about? Is getting its roots down and letting its branches grow and bearing the fruit God gives it to bear. Look there in Jeremiah 17. Stay with me now. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm and whose heart departeth from the Lord. What have you been trusting? For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. That's it. Watch, verse 8. For he shall be, Psalm 1, as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. What does this tree have to worry about? Oh no, there's a drought. No problem. Not a care in the world. And shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. Shall not be careful about that in the year of drought. Nothing to worry about. But look what's going on, and this is happening. Nothing to worry about. But preacher, you don't understand. You see what's happening? It doesn't matter. Nothing to worry about. If you got your roots down. If you really know and trust His Word. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. What's going to get thrown at you in this life, Christian, that's going to cause you to quit being fruitful? If you truly trust God's Word. You see, he's talking about some trees there that any environmental change kind of affects them. We ought to be that place where it doesn't matter the environmental changes around us. Because we're rooted. We're grounded. We're settled. God said it. That settles it. And that's good enough for us. Say, what does that do? That's where the peace comes from. Well, I'm just trusting what God said. Look back there in the Psalm 119. He says over there in Isaiah 26, verse 3, thou shalt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, for he trusteth in thee. Do you trust him? Do you trust his word? Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Nothing worries them. Nothing causes them to stress out or freak out. They got their roots down. They're solid. They've just been rooted and grounded in faith and knowledge. They're settled. They're fixed. So they don't have to trust and be concerned with the environmental changes around them. Drought, too much rain, doesn't matter. They're already rooted down. They're already planted. And they'll bear fruit in his season. Martha and Mary. The Lord loved them both just as much. They both followed Jesus. They both, I believe, loved the Lord. You see, Martha, she just got so burdened down. So careful and troubled. Just let all that other stuff just absorb her and affect her life, her walk with God. The Lord says, take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. We're living in a world of anxiety and worry and panic and stress and medication and drug abuse and alcoholism and suicide and sorrow. And they need to know there's a better way. There's a better way. You can have peace with God and then it gets even better. You can have the peace of God. All you have to do is take all the worries of this life. Be careful for nothing. Don't let any of that affect you. Take your concerns and your troubles, cast them to Jesus Christ. All you need to worry about, all you need to be concerned with, is pleasing the Lord. And just believe His word. Just trust Him. Trust Him. He'll bring it to pass. You say, but He's taking His time. I know, waiting on God. I understand. Waiting on God. But listen, some of the most peaceful places I've ever seen are waiting rooms. I've gone into waiting rooms where there was 20, 30 people in there, sitting around reading magazines, just peaceful. Not a care in the world, just waiting. Amen, praise God. I go in there and they're working on my car. I'm just waiting. Say, what are you doing? Nothing, just waiting. Well, amen, what's better than that? Amen, let's stand for prayer. You came in here this morning. Did you come in with the peace of God? Did you? Would you like to leave with it? You know what to do. You know what to do. Why don't you just be resolute in your heart right now? I'm going to leave here with peace of God today. And I'm going to keep it. I'm going to keep it. Father, I pray You'd bless the message. I pray for these that have come. And, Lord, there's so much to be careful about out in this wicked, sin-cursed world. And so many troubles of life that come our way. And Father, I don't mean many means in the message mean to make light of anything that someone's going through right now. And I pray that it wasn't taken that way. And Lord, people have real problems, real troubles in life. But God, I know the only solution to those things is to bring them to Your feet, to do as Mary did, just sit down there for a while. Take care of business. Have that rest and that peace that comes with that fellowship with You. Lord, worrying ain't going to fix nothing. Help them to see that. God, help this world to see a people that truly believes in God and believes His Word, that doesn't need to run to the doctors and the medicine cabinet to find peace, that doesn't need to run to the bars and the drug dealers to find peace. God, I'm thankful for the peace of God that passes all understanding. I pray that each one here today would truly know that peace. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your joy. But Lord, we also need to have that peace. We thank You for the peace with God, that we'll always have that in Christ. But God, I know Your desire is for us to have the peace of God. Paul, when he would write his epistles, would wish that upon all those that he would write to. That Christians, that Your people would know that, experience that, understand that very peace of God. I pray that all today would leave here with that peace. And I ask it in Jesus' name. We'll tarry in prayer for a few minutes. Maybe you didn't come to the altar. Maybe just something on your heart, something on your mind, whatever it could be. Cast it before the Lord. Just take it to Him. Here it is, Lord. I ain't carrying this. You carry it. You ever done that? You're walking with somebody and you're carrying all this stuff and they're not carrying anything? Let me get those suitcases for you. Well, no, I'll get one and you get one. The Lord says, no, let me get those suitcases for you. He's going to carry everything. But you've got to hand it to Him. You've got to give it to Him. I hope you can be back with us this evening. We're going to have the string band play some for us before the preaching, and hope you have a blessed day.